Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, Todd Nestalone here. On Twitter, I'm at TechNinjaTodd. I'd like to welcome you to our 18th episode of Edu All-Stars. Here with me today, I have...
This is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. That's with one S, if in case you haven't caught that in the first 17 episodes.
And with us today, we have Kurt Reese. He is an elementary school principal in Wisconsin. He's been a school administrator at the elementary level since 2001, and before that was an elementary classroom teacher in New Mexico and Illinois. He's got a wife and two kids, and he's also the co-host of the very popular Techlandia podcast. So, Kurt, thanks for being here with us today. Do you want to go ahead and say hey and give us your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you bet. I'm very appreciative that you guys invited me on. I listened to your show, and I learned a lot from it. So hopefully I can contribute to the same conversation for other people who are listening. But my name is Kurt Reese, and on Twitter you can find me at Kurt Reese, and that's C-U-R-T-R-E-E-S.
Awesome. Yeah, great to have you. We both talk to you on Twitter all the time, and it's great to finally kind of hang out with you one-on-one or two-on-one at least.
So we feel like we kind of know you from watching all the Techlandias, but
yeah, definitely, and listening to all those Techlandias on the way to work every day. So yeah, it's kind of cool. So we're right in the middle of our trilogy of school principals. Last week we had Daisy Dyer Dewar, and next week we're gonna have Principal L. So you're kind of the middle of the trilogy here. You're kind of the Empire Strikes Back, if you will.
So that's a good thing to be.
Yeah, no, that's the best one as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah, no Ewoks.
No Ewoks. There's no Jar Jars. It's just good stuff. You got the AT-ATs. Those rock. So let's start with a little background. We always like to start off the show with just kind of how you ended up in the education field.
Yeah, sure. When I went off to, I grew up in the state of South Dakota. And wasn't sure what I wanted to do in life. Went off to school, and I thought I was going to be a lawyer. You know, that's what I wanted to do. You know, read every John Grisham book that there was, and, you know, that's how I was going to spend my life. And then I realized, you know, I don't think I want to do that. So then I was convinced I was going to be a doctor, and then realized I couldn't make it through a single first aid class without fainting, seeing injury film strips at the time. So I couldn't do that. And, you know, then I just thought about, what I had enjoyed in life and, you know, what got me to where I was, and just thought about education. Always liked being a student, had some fantastic teachers as I was growing up, and realized that's what I wanted to do. So stuck with education, and I'm extremely glad that I've done that.
Yeah, cool.
Now, how long were you teaching elementary before you became an administrator?
You know, I only taught in the classroom about 4 years before, you know, I became an administrator, and I didn't, you know, intend to jump into it so soon. You know, my life goal was to, all right, you know, by the time I'm 35, you know, I want to be a principal, and, you know, it happened much sooner than that. You know, I wanted to get my master's degree, you know, just to move up the pay scale, and I knew at some point I wanted to be an administrator. You know, so I got the certification, and then things opened up in the school district where I was at in Illinois. And I had an opportunity to be an associate principal, and I did that, and then was principal of a small school. You know, I still taught for half a day.
Really?
You know, it was just a one-section school out in the country. It was a really great place, supportive community, great teachers, and it was just a really nice place to get started.
So was there someone that influenced your decision to become an administrator, or was it just a natural progression for you, something you wanted to do?
Yeah, you know, there were, the first person who comes to mind is a guy named Dr. Bishop, Ron Bishop, and, you know, I've fallen out of touch with him, but he was someone I worked for when I was in Illinois, and just was a very patient person, you know, also very demanding at the same time, and, you know, a moment that really stands out about his leadership had to do with a copy machine, and, you know, I was a third grade teacher at the time, and was new to the building and was running some copies. You know, I put my piece of paper in, it didn't come out. Put another piece of paper in, it didn't come out. So of course I keep doing that. So where all this paper ending up? Well, it's getting wrapped around the rollers and everything. It's a gigantic mess. You know, it's in a small school. There's no other copy machine in town, honestly. So it was a mess, and Dr. Bishop came. And, you know, I've seen him, you know, he had a controlled temper. I guess you knew when you were doing the right thing. And he looked at me, and I was worried. And, you know, even though I was like, almost a foot taller than him and, you know, had him outweighed by 75 pounds, I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And he didn't. He just kind of smiled, and he literally rolled up his sleeves And he had a little kit in his office, and he tore apart the copy machine himself. And I sat down with him, and you know, we fixed it together. And you know, I don't know exactly how that's related to education, but you know, what stood out to me was just, you know, what's the right way to treat people. So he was very influential. And then there have been you know, just several other folks that I've worked with, you know, who've been important to me, you know, as a teacher. I don't really remember my principals much as you know, when I was a student. I, you know, I was a pretty good kid, and I didn't have to go to the principal's office or anything like that. But there have been many administrators who I worked alongside who have been just great for schools, great for teachers, and great for kids and families.
Are you're working on your doctorate now? Is that right or not?
Yes, I am. Yeah, so okay. I have. Officially 15 credits down, and by the end of this semester I'll be halfway through, you know, the credit load, but I haven't even started dissertation yet, so there's still a lot of heavy lifting, but
Any ideas of what you're going to do your dissertation on, or any thoughts about that yet? Or?
Yeah, I've thought quite a bit about that. The program is through the University of Kentucky, and it's the School Tech Leadership Program. So if you want to follow you know, some of what we share on Twitter, just the hashtag is UKSTL. And it's you know, the emphasis is in educational leadership with a focus on school technology. Oh, cool. And so my dissertation idea is just about how administrators and other educators use social media to communicate with one another, you know, how they learn, you know, maybe how they communicate with families. So, I mean, those are pretty broad areas. And, you know, part of the whole dissertation process is to funnel down your question into something that's very manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I'm most interested in is how educators, and probably specifically how school principals, use Twitter. And also, you know, just taking a look at some different theoretical or conceptual ideas and, you know, looking at it through that lens. But I like Twitter. I've benefited from it, so I want to study that more.
Yeah, definitely. So what has really kind of been the most challenging part of being a school administrator as someone who's studying right now to do that on my own, too?
Oh, the most challenging thing being an administrator is sometimes things, there are so many complicated issues that just aren't black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to figure out what's the best thing to do for, you know, for students, certainly. I mean, that has to be at the forefront of all of your decisions. But then at the same point, recognizing, you know, that the adults who work in your building, you know, your staff, you know, they certainly have needs too. You know, so trying to find you know, the right way to serve all of those things, you know, for the benefit of the students for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a really challenging part is often you're on an island, and you might be the only administrator in your school. And, you know, while you have good relationships with the staff and with the parents, you know, ultimately when it comes down to it, you know, it's up to you to make the right call and figure out what to do. So just the loneliness piece, you know, not that I'm stuck in my office all day, but, you know, just other folks, they just don't have the perspective about what I'm going through, which is a great benefit of social media, just because you can make those connections, and I can pick up the phone and call Jessica Johnson or Tom Whitford, two of my, you know, good friends, principal friends here in Wisconsin, and other people around the country too, and just say, you're not going to believe what happened, or how would you deal with it?
Now, that leads perfectly into, and then the next question that I have is, you know, you're considered a connected educator, as they call it. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into what that was like for you to become connected?
Yeah. I first learned about Twitter from Naomi Harm, and she's a consultant, actually has worked a lot here in Wisconsin, but lives just across the river in Minnesota. And on, she's a great follow on Twitter. You can find her at nharm, H-A-R-M, Naomi Harm. And I was teaching a grad class in a program that she was in, too. She was also a facilitator in a different section. And she presented to the rest of us, you know, who are the adjunct faculty, about, you know, here's this thing called Twitter, and you know, it's a lot more than just you know, seeing pictures of Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. You know, you can learn a lot, and she demonstrated how to do that. So she was the first person I learned from, and I kind of messed around with it a little bit. I think many people have a similar story about Twitter. It's like you get started with it, it's like, oh, okay, it's kind of interesting, but I really don't know what to do with it. So then I kind of set it aside for a while, and then I went to a tech conference here in Wisconsin called Slate, and John Pedersen was a presenter there, and it was kind of my, you know, my I see dead people moment, where I, you know, figured it out, and it was also obvious. In his session, he talked about, you know, just technology, and not that it's not just the device and, you know, the internet resources themselves, it's the people. And, right. You know, that was it for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I kind of think this is cool. Because, you know, I remember having an AOL account, and I thought it was cool. I could go into a chat room and, you know, talk about fishing with someone, you know, who was around the world. You know, so when John stated that way, it's like, okay, I get it now. You know, that's what it is. It's about making connections with people through this particular tool.
Is Twitter still king of the hill? I mean, when you look at Facebook and Google Plus, I mean, is it still as far as educators are concerned, is Twitter where it's at?
I would say yes. I mean, it's a gateway, you know, into other services. But more than that, it's, you know, it's a gateway to other people. Mm-hmm. It's just a quick way, whether you follow a hashtag or just, you know, throw out a general question about, hey, I'm struggling with this particular concept, or does anyone know a great book about, you know, coaching, edu-coaching, whatever it happens to be. So I think it's the quickest way to connect with other folks. It's not the best venue for, like, having deep conversations. That's when, right, I think you pick up another tool, and, you know, then you're able to do that. And, you know, the three of us, we talked a little bit about Voxer previously, and I think that's one way to do it. You know, Voxer is just like this voice messaging app that I think is very handy for being able to trade messages with one another, especially if it's something that isn't appropriate, to be shared publicly, just because it's, you know, might be a work struggle and you want to, you know, keep some things confident, or also just the length of the message too, where you can't fit into 140 characters. Right. But yes, your question was about Twitter, and I think that's the place to start in terms of being connected.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I tried, you know, obviously Facebook is there, but I tried getting on Google Plus, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I just don't really care for it. I don't like the interface necessarily. I know, you know, there are a lot of educators on there. I just haven't built the network there that I have on Twitter, and it just kind of seems like Twitter is where I go to first. I don't know. So are you guys on Google Plus, I'm assuming, both of you?
Yeah, I have a Google Plus account, and I look at it once in a while, and I get notifications. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm not there
not much other than that. Yeah.
I've started a community in Google Plus for Wisconsin educators, and
Cool.
There might be 75 of us on there, and we trade some information, but it isn't greatly active.
Yeah. So it is Connected Educator Month, and what kind of advice would you give teachers looking to become connected educators? I think we kind of hit that, but maybe if you have any other advice.
In being connected, don't think that you need to master every single tool that's out there. You know, we've already talked about Google Plus and Twitter and Voxer and all these other services. Don't. You know, if you aren't ready for it, just, you know, pick something that you really want to explore. You know, it could be something as simple as just like a blog reader. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the tool that you want to explore. You know, so find one thing, use the heck out of it, see how helpful it is, and you know, then just go from there. You know, don't think you have to do it all, because you can't master everything.
Yeah, Don Jacobs just tweeted back and said, "What's Facebook?" I guess he's listening live here.
you know what I do love Facebook for is just connecting with families. You know, it can't replace your website, but what I think Facebook is really good at, it just enables you to share the message you want to share about your school. And that's, you know, certainly something that I've done with my elementary school. If you search Northern Hills Elementary on Facebook, you know, you'll find our page. It's a great way to share photos and just reminders about Spirit Day and all the fun and positive things.
Have you had any kickback from anybody about having a Facebook page for your school?
No, I did not. You know, I was careful about it. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly I was comfortable with the technical piece about setting it up and, you know, making sure all the privacy settings and, you know, who can post and who couldn't. You know, I certainly knew how to do that. One thing I just wanted to make sure that, you know, my superintendent, you know, I got his blessing. I said, here's how we're going to use it. Here's how we're going to share. I took a look at our district policies about, not policies, but just, you know, some families who don't want particular information shared about their students, you know, the do not publish directory kind of information, and we follow that. But then also, I think it's always a good idea to, you know, keep on the good side of your IT people. Mm-hmm. Not that they're in charge of everything, but certainly if they know what you're up to and why you're doing things, you can have a very good relationship with them, because they need us as administrators, and we need them, just to make sure that, you know, the train keeps running on time.
That's right. Well, I know that for Chris and I, there's been moments in our career since becoming connected educators where something really cool has happened only because we chose to learn how to be connected. Do you have one of those moments that's just a cool thing that happened to you since you became connected educator?
Yeah, probably the first thing that comes to mind, just you know, a cool moment, would be Todd Whitaker, and I heard you guys' interview with him. When did I hear it? Probably last week, I think, is when I was getting caught up on all of my Edu All Stars. And he had kind of mentioned me in that podcast, which was really cool. But back in 2011, Jessica Johnson, Jay Posick, and I were doing a presentation at the Wisconsin State Administrators Conference. And Todd was one of the keynoters, and Jessica and I had, you know, tweeted with him a little bit before that. So, like, in this room full of 500 people, he stops and he says, "Hey, do you guys realize you have the Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston of Twitter sitting right up here?" And he pointed to us, and then he said, "If you're going to go to one session, go to theirs." And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Super cool.
You know, meeting Todd face to face, and I've met him a couple different times at different conferences, but he's a very genuine guy. He's got a great sense of humor. And he certainly is someone who's taken it, well, not, I don't know if he's taken advantage of it, because, you know, he already has a presence and a good reputation, but I just love how he makes himself available, you know, to lots of different people on Twitter. Right. Very good guy.
Yeah, always writes back. I mean, yeah, he's out there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also co-host of a popular podcast called Techlandia, with Allison Anderson and John Samuelson. Now, how did that come about? How did you get involved with that?
Yeah, and I'll back up a little bit to tell that story. You had asked about a cool moment, you know, being a connected educator. So beyond just the cool moment was, you know, just some cool occurrences in general that didn't happen at one time, and that's, you know, meeting some of some of my friends, you know, who are now friends because I've met them face-to-face. You know, it started with Twitter. A couple years ago, my family and I, we went on vacation, drove across the country, went from Wisconsin all the way to the Grand Canyon, and I was able to meet two people along the way just because I knew I was headed that direction. You know, the first of which was Jeremy McDonald. You know, I'm not playing the sound effect because, you know, but Mr. McDonald, Jeremy's such a good guy. So I met him in Denver as we were driving through, and a very good dude. And then, you know, a couple days later, I met Adam Truitt as we were driving to that part of Colorado. And Adam Truitt, you can find him on Twitter at Mountain Teacher. He's a middle school principal. And just both of those guys are very good people. You know, so that was really fun. So, okay, so I'll connect this back to Techlandia. You know, so I'd met Jeremy, and then you know, I had some money budgeted to go to a national conference, and I was thinking it was going to be ISTE, and you know, I'd thrown a question out there, and then, you know, Jeremy had said, "Hey, you know what? You really should consider coming to this conference in Portland. It's called IPDX," and then I knew that John Pedersen, who is an educator here in the state of Wisconsin, was also going to that too. So I texted him or messaged him and just said, "Hey, okay, Jeremy says this conference is a good one. What do you think?" And he said, "Absolutely, you know, go there." You know, so I headed out to Portland, and you know, was able to meet lots of really cool people who I'd connected with previously on Twitter. You know, one of those would be Tyler Amadon, who's a principal out in Denver, and just a very, very good person. And then, you know, meeting Allison, you know, who I traded messages with before. I didn't really know John. But then we met face-to-face and, you know, went out to dinner several times. You know, Tyler and Allison and John and I got to hang out with Tim Lauer, got to ride in the back of his car. And that's just how we met. And, you know, they had already started Techlandia, had done, you know, 8 or 9 episodes at that point. And they said, "Hey, why don't you come on once?" And I did. And I don't know if I was supposed to stay on, but I've never left.
They keep inviting you back, so you must be doing something right.
Yeah, it's a fun show to do. You know, credit to John and Allison, and you know, but it, you know, I always say that you know, they are like you know, Paul and John of you know, of the Beatles. Just very, very, very key people, and I'm Ringo. But we have a lot of fun, and I learn so much from them. You know, they're always you know, testing out new apps, and I'm not really a new app kind of guy. But you know, they'll share things, and I'm like, okay, you know, I can see how that's absolutely handy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they just have so much. I mean, where do they get all this information? It's like every week they got 5 new apps. I'm like, my gosh, where do you have time to do all this? But yeah, they absolutely have great information there. So if you're not listening to Techlandia, you need to definitely download that from iTunes.
Yeah. And if you're not, Yeah, if you're not following John Samuelson, he's at iPad Sammy, and you know Allison Anderson at Ted Rose CC2. But John is such maybe it might be hard to tell what our relationship is like just from listening to Techlandia, because I like to take points that are opposite take a stance that's opposite of him. He's such a giving person though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is willing to help out anybody at any time, especially with a lot of this tech stuff. You know, I've seen him just stop and do hangouts with other people just to help him figure out things that he might think is extremely simple. Right. But he's great about giving advice, and whether it's just a particular app, or also ways to use iPads with the whole class of kids or professional development.
So yeah, while we're giving John some love, he actually helped us get this podcast up and running. We told him we wanted to do it, and he gave us his blessing, and we told him we weren't going to step on toes and do kind of similar podcasts, and he helped us really get us set up. And
he taught us how to do everything. Yeah, he's like really the godfather of Edu All Stars.
Yeah, he really is, yeah. So I know from the Techlandia cast that that you specifically have a passion for music, and I just from talking with you on Twitter. So what's some of the kind of good stuff you're listening to right now that you'd want to share?
You know what I just found that I thought was fantastic was the Allman Brothers did a version of Van Morrison's Into the Mystic, which is exceptional.
Nice. So,
my favorite artist ever would be Van Morrison. I just constantly am listening to him. Yeah, I've been to Ireland 3 times, and I keep thinking that one day I'm going to run into him over there, but I haven't.
How about, now, speaking of Van Morrison, how about Glenn Hanser? Do you listen to him at all?
Oh, yeah. I forget his partner who he sings with.
Markita or Kolova, I think her last name is.
Yeah, so they did the movie once, which was filmed in downtown Dublin. So my family and I, we've been there a couple times, and it's fun to walk down, that street.
Very cool.
And say, okay, here's the music store. Yeah, here's another place where they were at. do a version of Into the Mystic, which is phenomenal.
That's my wife and I's favorite movie is Once, and we saw Once on Broadway. We were there last Thanksgiving in New York. It's just absolutely fantastic. Totally recommend it. If you're into folk Irish singers, songwriters, then Glenn Hansard's the man. So
yeah. Then of course, being here in Wisconsin, I have to mention Justin Vernon.
Yep.
He is the man behind Bon Iver and Volcano Choir. Very talented guy, and he's also kind of a tall, bearded white guy like I am. But of course, I don't have the musical talent.
And pasty.
Now, I was looking at your website earlier, and I got to tell you, I love the gift that you have of iPad Sammy up on your front page. Yeah. And like you kind of said earlier, we're all good friends with him. But I told him I was going to ask you, can you give us any dirt on John?
Oh, I don't think I can.
Because, he did call you a doofus at Ed Camp Dallas.
Yeah, he did call me a doofus. I don't think there is any dirt on John because he is so self-deprecating.
That's true.
If there's anything that he has done that hasn't worked out, he's already shared it. There are no secrets about John.
That's a very good point.
I don't know if you've hung out with him in person, but it's just a lot of fun. I mean, he's a very positive guy and just has a very infectious laugh. And, he wears Cubs clothing, which I think is comical being a Cardinal fan, but he's fun to be with.
He's great.
So kind of moving away from the podcast, are there any books out there that you're currently reading or maybe you have read in the last year or so that have kind of made an impact on you and somehow?
Probably in the past, and I'm looking over here to my left because I have all of my education books over there. Some really good ones that I really like. If you haven't read Clayton Christensen's Disrupting Class, that is a must read. Dr. Christensen, he's at Harvard, which is not a bad school, by the way.
No.
He just writes a lot about how technology can change education and just about, how some things take root and how they make a big difference. That's a really excellent book. Another one, in education we end up in a lot of meetings, that sometimes are pointless. So there's a book called Rework, and it's by Jason Fried, F-R-I-E-D. It's called Rework, and you have to read that. Give it to your administrator, whether you are an administrator or someone else, and it really makes you rethink how meetings work and just being accountable to team and making sure you're using, very good use of time. A concept in that book would be that I really liked. They talked about if you were to add up the hourly wage of every person who's in that room,
oh,
and figure out the total dollar amount that's there, and then you ask yourself, is it important that we're meeting to do this? You know, is this worth, you know, if you have 20 people in a room, you know, is this worth, you know, $2,500 worth of salary right now?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It really makes, you know, especially for me as an administrator who, you know, is responsible for calling the meetings and, you know, putting together some of the content. So it was, you know, really good to read that. So those two books, Rework and then Disrupting Class.
Cool.
I've never heard of either one of those, and they both sound really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I know that you do blog some here and there. Do you enjoy writing, or is it something that's something that you just do because you're trying to find?
You know,
some people are natural writers and they really enjoy it. Some of us are blogging and we're trying to learn our way through blogging. What kind of writer do you see yourself as?
You know, I would say I'm an effective writer. I'm a good writer. With my blog, though, I don't want to put pressure on myself. It's like, oh, I haven't written anything in a month. I don't know, because that's maybe how long it's been since I've written a post. And some good advice, I can't remember who gave it to me, was, you know what, just write about what you think is interesting. And, you know, that's the way to do it. You know, I'm not trying to appeal to any particular audience, you know, with my blog. A lot of the things I've written recently, or at least last year anyway, we actually started with assignments from the different courses I'm taking for my for my PhD program. And, you know, then I just would turn it into like a 300-word blog post. So, you know, I do like to write, but, you know, I'm not going to put pressure on myself just to crank something out.
Now, how long have you been blogging?
Oh, I think the first post on, you know, my kurtreese.com is, you know, maybe from, 2010. You know, so that's how long that one's been alive. But, you know, I've written other things in the past. You know, we've gone on, had a guy fishing, canoeing weekend one time, and I, you know, started a blog just to kind of share all the pictures and, you know, stories from that week, you know, with all the guys that I went with.
Yeah.
But so, Craig Yen, I see he's tweeting. He's saying that I'm, so that's at Craig Yen. He's picking on me for mentioning so many names. But, you know, if I'm going to mention two blogs that I really like to pay attention to, you know, it would be from John Spencer, you know, Ed Rethink. His blog is really good. And he writes a lot, but, you know, he's also a talented guy. And then Pernil Rip, too. Her blog has some very good information if you're a classroom teacher.
Oh, Pernil's
John makes you. Yep, John makes you think a lot, and Pernil makes you think too. But then she also shares some great resources that you can put into place into your classroom the very, you know, 15 minutes after you read one of her posts.
Right. Well, you said you've seen the podcast before, so you know this question's coming. Mm-hmm. Has there been a time in your career where you've made a huge mistake or fallen flat on your face, and you've really taken it and learned from it?
Yeah, and I have thought about this question. You know, the whole, you know, is there a, you know, the whole failure thing, and if you've seen some of the things on my blog just about, you know, writing about failure, which I think is important, you know, that we do have times in our life when we fail and we learn from it. Some people refer to that as failing forward, which I think is a good idea. And I would say that the first would be that in general, educators don't fail enough. You know, we try to tweak our way to greatness and make little changes, and we don't, you know, quite seem to get over the BFW, the big frickin' wall, you know, whatever it happens to be in front of us, you know, rather than, you know, really trying to do something different. You know, sometimes we're going to fail, and that's okay, but I just don't think we fail enough. But, you know, another thing, you know, just being an administrator, I think about the times when I've hired someone and it just hasn't worked out. And, you know, so either a couple things have happened. One, I didn't, you know, screen applications as well as I should, or I didn't interview the right way. But then even worse than that, you know, maybe these are employees that I didn't support as well as I probably should have, and then it gets to a point where it's like, hey, this just isn't going to work out. You know, I feel bad about that because, in general, people who go into education are good people, you know, kind, moral, honest, you know, want to do the right thing. And it stinks, to say the least, you know, when an employment relationship just doesn't work out in your school.
You always seem so mild-mannered. Do you ever yell?
I was thinking that was going to be a question I was going to ask at the end, too, because you're always so chill.
Do I ever yell? My wife is sitting next to me. She's looking at me. No.
Not really.
You know, I certainly don't at school.
No, yeah.
And you just can't. You know, once in a while, I mean, I do have a loud voice, you know, but you know, if you get, you know, 200 kids sitting down at lunch at the same time, you kind of have to have a louder voice.
So but do not, you get, like, wild sometimes, or are you pretty chill most of the time?
Do I get, I don't know that I ever get wild, but, you know, there are times when just funny stuff is going on, you know, just hanging out with friends or my family, and, you know, I certainly laugh a lot and have fun. You know, but I tend to be a pretty steady person, and you know, I think that feels good for me, but also I think it's good for my staff too. You know, yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, it's a good trait.
Yeah. You know, I'm not someone who's going to go sing and dance for the staff, but, you know, I'm a predictable person, and, you know, I'm not going to overreact high or low.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's just who I am. You know, I'm 40 years old, and I don't know that I'm going to get greatly better or greatly worse, and I like who I am.
Yeah, you can't sing and dance for them when you're paying them $2,500 to sit there. Every minute counts, you know?
Yeah.
So, can you think about a time you had an interaction with a student or maybe an adult or a coworker or teacher just throughout your career that really made an emotional impact on you?
Oh, an emotional impact. You know, I get...
Kid story, yeah.
I can't think of anything, like, really specific, but... I get a lot of hugs every week from my students, and I really enjoy that. Hold on a second here. I got to turn something off because I think I'm making noise at you. Okay, much better. You know, I get a lot of hugs from kids, and you know, that tells me I'm, you know, building the right kind of relationships in my school. And it's cute, especially our preschoolers. You know, they'll see me, and they'll give me a hug, and they'll say, "Hi, Mrs. Reese." They don't quite have that Mr. and Mrs. thing down.
So your school is K through 5?
We have preschool, and then our district has a kindergarten center. So we've got preschoolers, and then everybody goes off to kindergarten for a year, and then they come back. And
really?
First through fifth grade, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
So if you could go back 5 or 10 years and give yourself a piece of advice, what advice would you give yourself?
You know, I'd go back... probably like 13 years, and I would tell myself to stay in the classroom longer. You know, I don't regret any single year of my education career, but just with what's expected of principals now about, you know, really being the instructional leader in a school, you know, I would go way back and say, okay, don't go into administration, you know, the fifth year of your career. You know, teach longer, you know, really get into that instructional side of things. You know, so that's what I would tell myself. But, you know, like I said, there isn't a single year in my career that, you know, I would, you know, want to do differently, because I've had, you know, just been fortunate to work in some very good school districts and work with some excellent people.
Sure. And last but not least, the always important, what are you really passionate about right now?
What am I really passionate about? I'm thinking a lot about just school design, especially, you know, what does a 21st century classroom look like? You know, what is necessary for a new school building? That's something that my district is wrestling with right now. You know, we're going to go to the voters most likely in February to ask for a bonding referendum for some more money. And that's because we're looking at either drastically remodeling my elementary school or just building a new one on the same site. You know, I spent a lot of time, you know, reading about, classroom spaces, but then, you know, I've met with lots of architects here recently, too, to start to put together all that information. So that's certainly has my attention, and, I am passionate about it, because you want to build this thing, and, you know, you want it to be a great place for students, staff, and family for decades to come.
This, I don't want to put you on the spot, but where does a library fit into a 21st century school? Where do you think it does?
To me, you absolutely have to have that library that still has hardcover books, and, you know, you still have comfy chairs where kids can just sit down and read, because literacy is important. You know, yes, you can read on an electronic device, but your school, to me, that the library has to be, you know, at the heart of your school, just for resources for kids, but resources for teachers too. And I'm very fortunate, and I'm going to drop another name here, but Crystal Brunel is the LMC director at my school, and you can find her on Twitter at LibraryGRL2. She's fantastic, is a lover of books, is a lover of words, but then she's also extremely techno-literate and, you know, gets all of those device things, and... it just, yeah. So where's the library have to be? Yep. Even in a brand new school, you've got to have a great library.
Yeah, very cool.
Chris, that's you.
Oh, I'm next, huh? All right, Kurt. Thanks for coming on. We really do appreciate you. It's nice to finally meet you kind of face to face, and
yeah.
What I would say in person. I know we've had those conversations before, but it is nice to put a face with a voice that I've been listening to for a long time on Tech Radio. So yeah, it's very, very cool, and just really appreciate you taking some time. I know this is a school night for you, and I know it's late, and we all have things to do, so I truly appreciate it. Got a couple ways to connect with us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at EduAllStarsHQ. We sometimes tweet under the hashtag EduAllStars. You can find our blog and former guests at EduAllStars.com. And then if you have access to iTunes, you can search us out, EduAllStars with no spaces, and find that on the Apple Podcast.
We've got some really great guests coming up. If you've been watching the news carefully, it looks like the government may end the shutdown tonight or tomorrow. So as soon as that happens, we will be back in contact with the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, to reschedule that interview. So we will let all of our viewers know as soon as we have that rescheduled. But next week, we have Principal L. He's going to be on next Wednesday at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Wednesday, October 30th, we have a teacher named Paula Noggle, who will be on at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time as well. So we're excited to have Principal L and Paula on in the next couple weeks. We want to encourage y'all to subscribe to iTunes and leave us a rating. The ratings really help our ranking and get us in front of some more eyeballs. And so we always love reading the reviews that people are writing about the show and hearing from some of our viewers that way as well. So we would love if y'all would go on and leave a comment. Thank you again, Kurt, for coming on today. We really appreciate you giving us time, like Chris said, and it was great getting a chat and learn a little bit more about you and kind of your history and stuff.
Yeah, well, thanks, Todd, and thanks, Chris. And what I really appreciate about your show is you highlight so many positive things that are happening in education, and I think we need to do more about that. Teachers don't brag enough, and we have to do more of it just to share all the good things that are going on. So thanks for all that you share.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, thank you all. Have a great evening.